Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
You didn't know that. She is like 10 years young, and she is gone, man. She's on 75% of the time. She's internationally traveling still, preaching the gospel, having crusades, seeing people's lives changed. And I'll let you know, this is what happened, Marilyn. I have to tell you what happened. You came for ISOM's conference last year. And as I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, ask her to come to Women Rock Conference. So the year had kind of gone on. I hadn't thought about it because I wasn't planning it yet. And I tried asking other people, and he shut every door. And he said, no, you know what I told you. And I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know if she'll come. I don't know if Marilyn will remember us. And when we called, she said, absolutely, I'd love to be at the Rock. So thank you for coming. We're so honored to have you. Just pour into us, Marilyn. Pour into us.
So put your hand on your heart. Say, God thinks I can do anything. Amen. You can be seated. And that is really the truth. So when I look at my age, I'm 86. I actually am doing more in my 80s than I did in my 50s. So why is that? Because God thinks you can do anything. Amen. I think this is a very special time. And I believe God has a vision for you this morning that is absolutely going to transform your life. I believe the message you're going to hear this morning, you will say, this will stick with my bones all my life. Yeah. You know, we like truth that sticks with us. Yeah. And I love the truth. Hold your Bible up or your phone. Say, this is the truth.
This is the truth.
Now, I'm going to ask you to do a crazy faith thing, because I'm crazy faith. I want you to take out your phone. I want you to think of some woman who is not here, who is sick. And we're going to send the word to them from this conference. Because, you know, this conference can bless people who didn't get to come. And the Bible says in Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We're going to send the word from here this morning to someone who couldn't come, and God is going to heal them and deliver them. Amen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have your person? You know, folks, you say, well, I don't know if that works. Don't tell me that. It's too late. I do it on television all the time. And people get healed. People get delivered. So can we send the word?
Yep.
And can we bless somebody who didn't get to come?
Yes.
Amen. So say, I'm sending the word that heals you. That's all you need to say. And then we're going to stand up and we're going to pray healing for that person. Now, the Bible says the word prospers in that which it's sent to. And the Bible also says the word cannot return void. So what we're doing this morning is sending healing to someone who's not here. And it's prospering. Everybody say, the word prospers.
The word prospers.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
To send a miracle outside these walls. So stand up. We're going to pray over that person. Ready? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I send the word that is healing and delivering from every destruction. I thank you right now. That word is prospering. That word is accomplishing healing and deliverance in Jesus' name at 11:05. Amen. You can be seated. Now, you could text back and say, did you receive? You know, because I want people to get their faith out there because it works, doesn't it? This morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Genesis 37. I'm going to show you a video. This just happened in November in Pakistan. Now, the reason I had you say, God thinks I can do anything, is because he thinks that. So you will hear many times, well, a woman can't do that. Well, God doesn't, that doesn't bother him that you're a woman. He made you that. Amen? And so my biggest meetings are in Muslim countries. And you will see on this a million people. And people were healed, people were saved, people were delivered, and nobody shot me. So watch this. And this was my seventh time to Pakistan. I just went recently in June. That was my eighth time. So watch this, knowing God can do anything. No one may know your name, but Jesus knows your name.
कोई भी हो सकता है कि आपके नाम से वाकिफ ना हो, लेकिन यीशु आपके नाम को जानता है.
Pastor Anwar, my son, who puts me on television here, and all over the world, with
Sarah, miracle.
I said, I love Muslims and Muslims love me.
मैंने कहा मैं मुसलमान बहन भाइयों से मोहब्बत करती हूँ और वो मुझसे मोहब्बत करते हैं.
गवाही देती हूँ, ये देखें मेरी बेटी, ये एक साल की होने वाली है और इसकी आंख का सारा ट्यूमर खत्म हो चुका है और खुदावन ने इसे जिंदगी दी है, खुदावन ने इसे सेहत दी है. और मैंने खुदावन से वादा किया था, मैंने कहा खुदावन मुझे एक मौका दे दे कि तू मेरी बच्ची को शफा दे, मैं नाच नाच के तेरी गवाही दूंगी और मैं नाच नाच के गवाही दूंगी.
The best part of that is, you didn't see this, is that I had an altar call for salvation, and probably over 500,000 people stood to receive Jesus. So I want to tell you, there is a roaring revival going on in Pakistan, and God will give you favor where He wants you. He has a vision for you, and He has a vision for you to win. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
That's God's vision.
That's God's vision.
And that's mine.
And that's mine.
So I'm going to give you 4 points on how to win. Are you ready? Can you take notes on your phone? Or do you have paper? If you don't, smile at someone who does, and they will be happy to share with you. Now, when you look in Genesis 37, you see something unique about a family. I find that God loves family. Amen? Why does He put 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings? And why does He give the genealogy of Jesus? Because He loves families. So put your hand on your heart again. Say, I won't forget.
I won't forget.
God loves my family.
God loves my family.
Amen.
Amen.
So I have a daughter. You've probably, if you've seen our telecast, you've seen Sarah. But, you know, it wasn't always easy with Sarah. She wasn't hard to raise. But when she was a senior at ORU, she went to Germany to study German education. And she came home and she said, Mom, I don't know if you'll love me anymore. I don't believe in Jesus. Now, the first thing I thought is I could slap you. No. And then I heard myself say this, and this is what I love about the Holy Spirit with family. I said, well, Sarah, when you were born, you didn't believe anything. We didn't love you by what you believe. We love you because you're ours. So, you know, how God loves our family and gives us answers. So she goes back to ORU. This is her senior year. And she doesn't believe in Jesus. And I'm the chairman of the board. Don't you love how God will cook things up and you think, oh, this looks wonderful. And so in that year, in the fall, she called me one night, I think November, and she said, Mom, I've recommitted my life to Jesus. And she said, the young man on campus who's helped me, and she named him, she said, he told me, I know what you're going through. He said, I went to Paris. I went through the same thing. Let's just study the Gospel of John together. So they began to study the Gospel of John, and she recommitted her life to Jesus, and she told me his name, and she said, his father got saved in your meeting 20 years ago. You know, folks, it's not in vain. And sometimes it looks crazy, but we have crazy faith. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm a crazy faith woman. So I'm going to talk about the four points of your vision. And I love this about Joseph. You know, Joseph had two dreams. And he was next to the youngest son, and it didn't make the others happy. And he saw the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. Remember? And he told his family, and his father kind of thought about it, but the brothers didn't like it. So the first thing I want you to see is you must hold on to your dream. Number one, everybody say number one. Hold on to the vision. Hold on to the dream. Now, I've learned something. You don't give up until you win. Because 2 Corinthians 2:14, I love this verse. I use it all the time. Thanks be unto God who always leads me to triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. God didn't say part of the time you triumph. He said what? So this is what I tell the devil. The game is not over till I win. And there's something about winning with your mate, you know, getting saved, or your children getting delivered and changed. There's something about winning that smells good. Amen? Amen? I call it winning perfume. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I have winning perfume. I stay in the vision. The vision, the dream, keeps me supernatural. Now, if you remember, the father gave him a beautiful coat. Why did he do that? Because he was the organizer of the whole estate. So it said, I have authority. So every place he went, he made decisions. Now, he had a gifting. He had a talent of organization. He knew how to get things in place, but he also knew how to use people to get them in place. So our giftings are very important. And so he wears the many-colored coat, but his brothers are not happy with him. And a lot of times, our relatives don't understand our dreams, right? We say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they say, yeah, and you're crazy. You never did anything good. But I have some very good news for you. Relatives can't steal your dreams. Amen. And so I had an aunt when I began to get into the ministry with radio and television. She said, you know, you could have made something of your life. You could have gotten your doctorate and you could have done something. But what are you doing that silly little Christian business? But you see, I had a vision. God told me to cover the earth with the word. And my relatives couldn't steal it. Are you hearing me? And people's opinions couldn't steal it. Are you hearing me? And I know when I went to be on television, you know, they said to me, because I had to meet with a secular board, they said, you're not television material. You will never make it. You're just not television material. And one man said, oh, let's try her. I think she'll pay her bill. That was 45 years ago. None of those men are on television. I still am. Hey, God thinks you can do anything. Don't settle for less. So his brothers, not happy with him, see him coming, and they say, here comes the dreamer. I told you, your dreams don't always make you popular. And so they grab him, and they hate that coat. And they grab the coat and throw him in a pit. Now, he could have said, I'm really bitter, because they sold him as a slave to Egypt. And this is very key, that you hold on to your dream when it looks like all the circumstances are against you. Doesn't look like your husband will ever be saved. Doesn't look like your children ever will serve God. Doesn't look like you'll ever be healed. Amen? So I want to stop here, because I feel the Holy Spirit would have me do this. You know, when I married, we wanted children. I was 23. I didn't get pregnant. And I went to a healing meeting in Dallas, Texas, and a man named William Branham called me out of the audience of 5,000 people and had me come and stand on the platform with him. Now, I was very, very frightened. And you never told William Branham what you wanted. He told you what you were going to get. And he said, you're not from here. You're from a wooded area. You're from Denver, Colorado. Now, he's standing about this far from me, and I could feel like a wheel within a wheel going round and round. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is the presence of God. If I step into that, I will be killed. And so he said, you are from a wooded area, you can't have a baby, go home and receive your baby. And the wheel within a wheel, I don't understand that, I'm not gonna try and explain it, went into my feet. I thought, well, I'll have a baby. But I didn't have one for 10 years. And when I was 36, I thought, I'm having a lot of changes. So I went to a doctor. He said, what do you think is wrong with you? I said, I think I'm pregnant. So he examined me. He said, you're not pregnant. He said, it's impossible for you to be pregnant. You're just going through the change. And I went home. I had some changes. And that was Sarah. So if you have not been able to have a child and you're married, stand up. I have great faith for you. But watch out. You might have twins. Because my faith is growing. Yes! So, I want everyone seated, extend your hand toward one woman. Say, Father, I thank you. You caused the barren to have babies. I'm calling in healthy babies, healthy marriages. In Jesus' name. Amen! Amen! And so, here, he is thrown into a pit. He's sold as a slave, and he goes to Egypt. He's sold into Egypt. And so this is a really bad news situation, because they put him to work for a man named Potiphar, who has a huge estate, very wealthy, does very well. And he notices something about Joseph that is really important. He notices he has an ability to organize. He notices he has an ability to put people in the right spots to work. Now, what is going on? Practice. The second thing about the vision God has for you is you must practice. Everybody say practice. You know, I had a woman who said to me one time, I feel led to travel with you and sing. I said, oh, really? I said, do you solo any place? No. Do you take voice lessons? No. Do you sing in your church choir? No. Well, no. So I have noticed God has you practice. And a lot of times it's little simple situations. You know, you say, well, I want to pray for the sick, you know, or I want to be healed. Maybe he'll just have you pray for someone that's standing, you know, and checking you out. And yesterday, Juana, my assistant who's with me, she talked to the girl behind the desk at the hotel, and the girl had pain, and so she got her out from behind the desk and prayed for her. Now the girl's really sweet now and just thinks that's so wonderful, but I'm going to nail her for Jesus. And I want her to pray the sinner's prayer. Now, you say, well, I want a big healing ministry. Big healing ministry. Well, start practicing. You say, well, what if they die? Well, what if they do? Now, folks, you say, this is not funny. When I started pastoring with my husband, we had a beautiful girl who had leukemia, and she died. She's a teenager. I was so mad at God. Did you ever get mad at God? Don't raise your hand, because you have. You say, where is he? So she died. So I said to the Lord, I will never pray for the sick again. You know, this is terrible. So I'm teaching the book of Daniel, and the three Hebrew children said, our God is able to deliver us. We won't bow down. And so they said, he's able, but if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. And God said, Marilyn, I'm growing two things in you, faith and faithfulness. Will you be faithful when it looks like your faith failed? So put your hand on your heart again. Say, God is growing faith and faithfulness in me. And so I see that with Joseph. He stays in faithfulness when it looks like his faith failed. Looks like everything is going down the drain. But he's doing something that's very important. What is he doing? You forgot. I can't believe it. It's too early for you to forget. Say practice. So he's practicing because God has a big vision for him. So he practices and he's very good. And then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. And as he flees from her, she grabs his coat. Now, have you noticed this poor man loses more coats? And the devil can steal your clothes, but he can't steal your dreams. Amen. I have a dream to have a healing meeting in Iran. And so I've contacted them. I've believed this for 4 years. So I said, you know, I want to come. I said, I'm just a tourist. They said, we know who you are. You're not a tourist. No, you can't do it. But I believe I can do anything. Amen. And so God has ways. People might steal our coats, but God has a way of getting a newer coat for you back. So just believe him. Don't give up. So then she lies, and they throw him into prison. Now, that's the moment you could really get bitter. But that's a very important moment. And how does he stay out of bitterness? He keeps practicing. And they said, you know, this guy has real ability. Let's just put him over the prison and let him be in charge of all the prisoners. And so he keeps practicing. He practiced on his father's estate, didn't he? He practiced also on Potiphar's estate. Now what's he doing? Practicing in a prison. Practice is so important. But here comes the third point. Are you ready for the third point? This is very important. Two men have dreams in the prison. Now, invariably, when you feel sick, somebody will want you to pray healing for them. Have you ever noticed? You think, you feel depressed, and somebody says, I'm depressed, would you pray for me? And those are very key times, because you get to sow in somebody else's life. So your dreams probably are not going to come true until you sow in another life. So I'm going to tell you a story about Joyce Myers. Do you know who Joyce is? Did you know I sowed in her dreams? Years ago, I was in a church raising money to pay for a building, and she and Dave were sitting behind me. I didn't know them. And she said, Marilyn, I'm thinking of going on the radio. I know who you are. Would you pray for us? So I said, what's your name? I'm Joyce Myers. And what's your husband's name? Dave Myers. And I got to sow in Joyce Myers' ministry. Now she's a partner to me. You see, folks, if you never sow in somebody else's dreams, you won't reap your own. So look at someone to your right. Say, honey, this is really good for you. I hope you're getting it. So we hold on to the dream, right? What's the second step? We practice. What's the third? So now watch. So he sows into the dream of a man who is really the cupbearer for the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh has two dreams. And he dreams of seven full ears of corn, seven skinny ears. And he doesn't know what it means. So his cupbearer says, oh, I know a man who interprets dreams. And he calls for Joseph. And Joseph interprets the dreams. There will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he said, what you need to do, because he's an organizer, he has ability, he said, you need to gather up the food for the 7 years of plenty and then, you know, parcel it out in the 7 years when it's not so good, the famine time. So now, watch what God does. What does the Pharaoh need? He needs an organizer. Is that right? But would Joseph have been ready if he hadn't been practicing? So your practice is getting you ready. Okay, but it's far bigger than you think, because we have the fourth point, and the fourth point is the most important, but it's too late for the fourth point. So what you can do is watch my television on Monday and get the fourth point. No? You want the fourth point this morning? Then you have to raise both hands. So, he gathers up the food. The famine hits. And his family are hungry. And I noticed something else. The Pharaoh gave him a new coat. I like coats. I like clothes. I like boots. I live in Colorado. Anyway. So, his family are having a problem with food. And they come down to Joseph to get food. And you know, they come several times. And he feeds his family. He saves them. So this fourth point is so important. When you are going toward dreams and vision and the goal that God has for you, you have some disappointments. And you have some people who let you down. I won't ask you if you have, because I know you have. But you have to forgive. Everybody say forgive. And so along the way, you'll hit some things. But folks, forgive. Because God is your source. Now, I said to God, you know, God, I don't understand, you know, how he could forgive. How could he do this? And so I went back and looked at everything he said. And, you know, I like the way you confessed faith over your offering today. I really believe in confessions. And I have a book back there. It's not expensive, called Speak the Word. And it's confessions for your family. It's confessions for your health, for your wealth, all kinds of things for our nation. So I speak certain promises, but he forgave them. And I went back and said, how could he do this? And I looked at every word he said. When the Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, he talked to her about God. Amen? When he went to the prison, what did he talk to the men about? Dreams. Only God can interpret dreams. Now when he gets to the Pharaoh, what does he say? Only God can interpret dreams. And then he says to his brothers, when they said, are you going to kill us? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So stand up. You say, is this an exercise class? Oh, yeah. I said, the best part about exercise is when it's over. Say, I won't forget. Hold on to my dreams. My dream is the supernatural part of me. The second thing, I have to keep practicing. The third thing, I have to sow in the dreams of others. And the fourth thing, along the way, I must forgive. Amen. Now, I want you to do something kind of crazy, but I'm kind of crazy. I want you to turn all the way around and look at me. All the way. Now, don't cheat. All the way. Look at me. Say, I believe. This conference is bringing a big turnaround in my life. Amen. Amen. So, Juana, if you would come up. I just have some, you could be seated, sorry. I just have some things that will help you. I don't know how you are. I'm always reading. I'm always listening. I'm always feeding my spirit. So the most important thing I have, Juana, is the big study guide. I like to get people hooked on the book. Psalm 51:6 says, Thou, God, desirest truth in the inward man. In the hidden man, he will make me to know wisdom. So hold up your Bible or your phone. Say, this is truth. Now, where is God looking for it? On your phone? On your coffee table? In here. So reading the Bible is very important. It puts truth in here. Now listen to me. Truth in here makes wisdom up here. Amen. Little truth, little wisdom. Lot of truth, lot of wisdom. So I like to get you reading through the Bible and seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible. Is this cool? Look at someone and say, cool, man. No, you should say woman. Anyway, I have this back there. I want you to get it because this is not a book you read. This is resource. It's for every day of your life. You will love seeing who Jesus is in Genesis. You love seeing him in Exodus. And who likes Leviticus? Ugh. But you will see Jesus in Leviticus, and he fits in with Hebrews. Now, we also have study guides for people that want more in-depth teaching on that, so we have that available too. Do we have anything else? I've only written 100 books, so you say, have mercy on us. Breaking the Generational Curse. And by the way, I have these in Spanish too, and Breaking the Generation Curse. You know, my father had a mental breakdown. I understand my grandfather did. So when I was 36, I began to have some problems. And I said, I'm just like my father. I'm going to have a mental breakdown. And the Lord said, that's right. You're just like your father. I'm your father. I never had a mental breakdown. Neither will you. Ah, this is the family covenant. El pacto de Dios para su familia. Everybody say, qué bueno. And so those are available back there. Put your hand on your heart again. Say, God thinks I'm very special, and he has a vision for my life. Amen. Yes. Now, you'll see back there, come on up. You'll see back there, I have baby blankets that have scripture on them in pink and blue. Sarah put those scriptures on, and we believe that those blankets, we put them on children and say, may they fulfill the destiny God has for them. Then we have a great big thing that's the biggest prayer cloth you've ever seen in your life. So those things help me for these big meetings. Do you think the world needs to know Jesus? Do you know that some of the Muslim countries are having tremendous revival? Do you know that? I mean, Pakistan is in a raging revival. And the key imam has opened a door for me to have a healing meeting in Saudi Arabia. Oh, God thinks you can do anything.
That's so good. Is it working? Oh, there we are. Marilyn, thank you. Oh, we are not done with Marilyn. She's going to come pour into us again and more. And then we're going to do a little question and answer the second time around after you're done preaching, if that's okay with you. Because we want to pick your brain. We want to know the wisdom that you have lived, and we want to learn to live it too. So, can I just say something? You have memorized 23, right?
Right.
Bible books.
Books of the Bible.
23.
books of the Bible. She is memorized, right? And not just that, how many languages do you speak?
Well, I don't speak any of them well. I took Spanish, French, and Latin. I was a school teacher.
Well, that is amazing. I want everything in there to just drop into my head.
I want to ask one more thing.
Yes.
You know, people say, how did you get into this craziness? I got into it at 16 when I invited Jesus into my heart. And he's never left. That's the most important thing of all. He's there. 16 to 86, I've had the most supernatural life in the world. How many of you know you have Jesus in your heart? Are you sorry? No way! How many of you say, I just need to really recommit my life? Because there is a supernatural life and a vision for you. How many would say, I just need to recommit my life? Put your hand up really high, because I get to pray for you. That's so good. I'm so proud of you. I want everyone who has their hand up, would you stand up so I can see you? Just stand up so I can see you. That's good. Now, if you're here and you say, well, I don't know if I ever have received Jesus, just stand up with him too. Now, those of you seated, you think you're off, but you're not. Turn to the person on the right. Say, do you need to stand up? I'd love to stand with you. Turn to the person on the left. Say, do you need to stand up? I would love to stand with you. And stand with that person. Sometimes people just need a little tender, loving care. So I want all of you standing. Come right up here. We're going to clap for you, cheer for you, whistle for you.
If you're standing.
We are so excited. Come up here. That's so good.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
Wonderful.
Every morning.
Best day of your life. Best day. You'll never be sorry for this decision. Standing, extend your hand. This church really is a family church. So you got family behind you, praying with you. The most important prayer of your life, the best day of your life is today. So pray with me. Say, Father, I know you love me. I'm not an accident. You have a wonderful plan for my life. I repent of all the junk, all the trash in my life. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins and arose from the dead. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you today. You will never forsake me. You'll never leave me. And I have an eternal home in heaven. Amen. Clap for them.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.